Miss a moment, miss a lot. Download the EWTN app for today's Morning Glory.
If you were with us earlier, you heard Anna Higgins talking about the tragedy of sex selection abortion. She will be the guest on Catholic Connection with Teresa Tomeo starting at 9 Eastern here on EWTN Radio as you listen to Morning Glory to start your day off giving glory to God here on EWTN. Good morning. Our producer is Elisa Murphy. Our godly counsel is Dominican Father Aquinas Gilbo. I'm Brian Patrick, along with Gloria Purvis.
On the phone, we have a friend of mine, Dr. Mary O'Callaghan. She's a public policy fellow at the Center for Ethics and Culture at the University of Notre Dame, and she's the prenatal outreach coordinator for Michiana Down Syndrome Support and Advocacy Group. Good morning, Mary.
Good morning, Gloria. It's so nice to talk to you again.
I know. I love talking to you, too, and I'm glad our listeners will get to hear from such a wonderful person like yourself. And I have to say, I was pretty impressed that you testified in Indiana in support of the law that bans abortions based on fetal characteristics like Down syndrome, sex, or race. Just for our listeners, could you let them know what the main points of your testimony were?
Sure, I'd be happy to. So, Gloria, all of my testimony really related to the disability portion of this bill. So this is what I'll be talking about this morning. And the first point I make is what I think is the central one, and that is that this law is aimed primarily at preventing discrimination of those with disabilities. As you probably know, the Americans with Disabilities Act boldly proclaimed in 1990 that physical or mental disabilities in no way diminish a person's right to fully participate in all aspects of society. And yet, selective abortion denies the child's right to participate in any aspect of society, period. You know, we're not just talking about failure to install a wheelchair ramp or about denying access to a building. We're talking about total exclusion from society, right, from life itself, based on a single characteristic of the child, which certainly might describe him, but we know it never defines who he truly is as a person. And this discrimination is particularly problematic because it's woven into the fabric of routine medical care. Mm-hmm. You know, there's so little value seen in the lives of these children that abortion is rarely considered an ethical question here, but it's simply seen as a standard of care, right, by many physicians in the case of a poor prenatal diagnosis.
Well, I can tell you just from personal experience, and the listeners, regular listeners know this, that when I was pregnant with Lourdes, just because there might have been a chance that she wasn't perfect, I received a lot of pressure to abort, you know, the whole way. I felt like I was running the gauntlet to get to delivery, really. And and so that makes me think, you know, since so many children and so many persons with Down syndrome seem to be missing today, you know, you have to know there's the prevalence of aborting those persons, those children. So I'm just curious, do national Down syndrome groups, you know, rally behind these kinds of laws? And if they don't, why don't they?
You know, Gloria, that's a great question. And the short answer is no. Unfortunately, there is a deep split in the Down syndrome community. And, you know, I've sort of addressed this elsewhere in terms of, you know, how this became apparent, really, is sort of within the legislative history of laws, you know, speaking to providing information about Down syndrome to parents in our country. But, you know, in brief, what I would say is that the split actually was pre-existing. So the split in our community, you know, over this issue doesn't reflect anything unique about the disability community, but on the contrary, it simply reflects parents' pre-existing and strongly held views on abortion prior to having a child with Down syndrome, right? So unfortunately, and sort of tragically, the fact of having a child with Down syndrome was not enough to change these pre-existing views. Now, you know, to be fair, those who are pro-choice in our community don't want women to abort children with Down syndrome, but since they respect the woman's right to choose as an absolute right, the farthest they're willing to go is to advocate that accurate information be given to parents at time of diagnosis. And as you can imagine, getting accurate information is critical, but I don't think this goes far enough, right?
Yeah.
In practice, we know that abortions are still occurring. And in theory, when we allow abortion in the case of a poor prenatal diagnosis, this concedes that this is an acceptable way to deal with disability.
Mm-hmm.
So I strongly advocate, you know, for our law, which would ban abortion in the case of a poor prenatal diagnosis.
Hi, Mary. This is Father Aquinas. Welcome to the show.
Hi, Father Aquinas. Nice to talk to you.
Same here. It is shocking that based on simply a simple medical test, you know, which may or may not be accurate, because there's no evidence yet, you know, before birth, as to the real, you know, condition of the health of the child, that's simply enough to determine whether or not this child will live or die. I mean, I do find that surprising. I mean, as you say, this is being accepted as a way we just now handle disability.
Exactly. You know, one reason I support this law is that when we screen for diseases, and as you say, there's always some uncertainty, right, about really, you know, sort of what's present in a child or the extent of a disability that's present.
Right.
But when we screen for diseases for which we have no treatment, the only way to eliminate the disease is to eliminate the child.
Mm.
And you're probably familiar with Dr. Jerome Lejeune, right, who discovered the chromosomal basis for Down syndrome. And he said that medicine becomes mad science when it attacks the patient rather than a disease.
Mm-hmm.
And we have allowed this mad science to flourish in the area of prenatal medicine. It's really gone unchecked. And I think, you know, our law, you know, says that we need to address this issue, you know, and seriously address the sort of impoverishment, right, of medicine within prenatal health care.
I find it surprising, too, that living with a person with Down syndrome, either having a child or a relative, has little effect on people's views vis-a-vis abortion. I myself had a cousin with Down syndrome, and she lived, you know, well into her 50s, and was just an incredible presence in our family.
A great blessing to our society.
And it's just hard to imagine our family without her.
Exactly. And this is, you know, that is certainly true for most people who have a child with Down syndrome. You know, I think, you know, the data shows that about, you know, 98% of parents, right, are happy with their lives, with their child with Down syndrome. But unfortunately, our views on abortion are so deeply held,
right,
so much a part of who we are, and they're so tied, you know, even to our, you know, political party. You know, the abortion divide, you know, splits along party lines. And so I think it's very difficult for people to change those views, unfortunately.
Mary, just one last question. Earlier in the show, I had a previous guest that mentioned neonatal hospice. And so I was wondering if you would share with our guests about the effect parents being informed that there is such a thing as perinatal hospice and palliative care when they have an adverse prenatal diagnosis, how parents respond to receiving that information.
Exactly. So, you know, the perinatal hospice, the best way to think of it, right, is hospice in the mother's womb, right? So it's an approach which supports the mother as she parents her child who may have a very limited lifespan. What is really interesting is that typically about 80% of parents who receive a diagnosis of a potentially lethal anomaly will choose to abort, right, when offered no support. But what's incredibly hopeful is that when parents are offered perinatal hospice by a supportive doctor, 80% choose to carry to term.
Wow.
There's a doctor by the name of Byron Calhoun who has carried out a lot of this research, and it's incredibly hopeful. But what I think it speaks to, Gloria, is that perinatal hospice resonates deeply with parents, right? You know, as parents, we know that when our child is sick, our every instinct is to care for that child. And so perinatal hospice corresponds to the deepest desire of a parent's heart, right, to care for their child when they have a, you know, life-threatening condition.
That's Mary O'Callaghan. She's a prenatal outreach coordinator at Michiana Down Syndrome Support and Advocacy Group. Thank you, Dr. Mary O'Callaghan, for calling in today.